Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Hello everyone, this is Red News podcast 169. Tonight it's just me, Nathan and Nick. Me, comma, Nathan.
Right.
And Nick. Okay. I was introducing to people who I was.
That's how life should be. You should have to talk and then say a comma. Imagine if you had to do that.
So, joined by me, comma Nathan, and Nick, comma pedantic bastard. We're just having a quick Guinness before we go to sell before United against Everton in the FA Cup. And Barney, again, hasn't bothered to come up. He claims it's because of the trains, but it's his birthday, so he's currently...
I mean, there's a megabus.
Exactly.
There's a megabus.
I keep saying this to him.
I mean, I will always long to see Barney on the megabus. £7 fare from London Victoria. So 9 hours on a bus.
He always complains that the train takes forever anyway, so what's the difference?
What's the difference, exactly.
So he's currently sat having some cocktail somewhere in the bright lights of London whilst we're... We will be stood outside in the cold selling his magazine.
Anyway, moving on.
Go on,
that's
sorry.
That's Forest. Yes. So we've not done Wolves or Bournemouth in a summary. 2 clean sheets again. We've had 4 games, 4 clean sheets so far since Christmas, since returning from the World Cup. And I don't know about you, but life under Man United seems great, that even you and me aren't arguing with each other at the moment about football.
You
can do it if you want, but even we can't argue about it. That is where we are. That's where we are at the moment, Harbour with United. Fabulous performance. I think away it was that classic 1-0 Premier League win that you want to get. Doesn't always have to be the best kind of football, but you can snatch it late with what was a great goal from Marcus Rashford. Great to see Eric having the balls to say, look, if you're not here for the meeting, you're not there. Great. Probably wasn't his idea to force him on after 45 minutes, but the team wasn't really clicking, shoved him on. Jobs are good. And then that performance against Bournemouth on Tuesday night was just brilliant. We had that rocky bit where we went, after it went to 2-0, and they started to control the game and they had a few leaky chances. But other than that, that just looked like one of those comfortable routine wins under Fergie.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. That's what they're starting to feel like, these games that we've just been waiting for years and years and years, that we've not had against what should be relegation fodder. And they've come here and got points, and they're just not doing that at the moment. And I'm going into tonight with full confidence, and I say that firmly touching wood, but going there tonight with full confidence against another side that maybe might even be relegation fodder with a manager fighting for his job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you feel, but I feel really confident.
I think on on New Year's Eve I went over to Austria for a couple of days, so I didn't see the match, but I was listening to it. So I was walking around a little town by the side of a lake and some mountains. It was lovely, and all I was doing was just listening to Wolves against United. And it didn't, like, it might have been different watching it, but it sounded like it was a bit of a, it didn't sound like we were doing too well, really.
Neither side was.
And then, like you say, it was one of them where, like, again, Rashford, absolutely love him at the moment, came on and made that difference. But that's what I mean. I think I'm not going to say it's... there's a phrase that normally gets used at this point, but I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it.
I don't know what phrase it is.
No, I'm not going to say it. Okay. But when very good teams are very good, they grind out results like that, don't they?
I'm with you now. You're talking about Jose Mourinho, aren't you, in his prime? Those standards.
I'm saying you can't always win them convincingly, but the difference is winning those games, aren't they? Because how many other times have we in the last few years watched games like that and it will just end 0-0 and we just
don't do anything.
So that was brilliant. Like, even though, like you say, it's a scrappy 1-0, but that's the point. We won it. We won that game. And then to Bournemouth, it was again. Yeah, like you say, they had a couple of chances, but it just again like we said this on the pod when we were doing it at Wazza's. It's just like Wazza's wedding. It was just like I love just watching, like, particularly Casemiro. I just love watching him play. And I think it got to that point where it was like, it was 2-0. And I'm like, we should be winning this by more. And I was so glad, like, again, I was so glad that it was Rashford who scored. But it's just like, you know, like, for the last few years, we've been, like you say, against, I don't know what our record has been against Bournemouth in particular, but that sort of team, we've always been worried about slipping up. And it's just like, we're scoring, and it's like, we should be getting more. We need, just go and get more.
Be ruthless.
Yeah.
Which
we
will.
There was one thing in that game the other night. Did you, I don't know if you could see it from your end, because I'm obviously at Stretford end. Did you see how frustrated and angry Bruno was?
No.
So, when it was 2-0...
Afterwards, but not at the time.
But during the game, he was just like, it was 2-0, and I was like, just calm down, lad. Like, he was having a few chances, and they just weren't working. And then there was one point where he just booted the ball away when we got a corner. And it's just like, just calm down. Like, I know you want to score or do something, but just calm down. And then 30 seconds later, there was that, I can't remember who did it, but the ball was floated over to him, where he eventually crossed it to Rashford. And at the time, I was like, he's going to just try and put his foot through this, because he obviously wants to score. And then he squared it, and I was like, I was glad that he did, because the way he was acting, he's been acting for the last 10 minutes, I was like,
Bruno does, though, isn't it? He's petulant, and then shows up with, like, a nice little moment like that, like you say. And kind of really sums up where we are, where probably last season or the season before, he probably would have put his foot through it. But we're getting to this selfless team. For me, the biggest thing about the Bournemouth game, just because that was the most recent one, and what was so good about it is we're starting to see different football where we're not predictable anymore. And I can't predict what we're going to do, which is a good sign, because I know fuck all about football, which you'll know from listening to this. But to see people like Bissaka and Shaw moving into centre midfield, and
Shaw's got players at the back,
and Casemiro covering, it allows.
Well, I think
that's what Casemiro allows. He allows two extra men to go forward because he's that good.
Yeah. I think Shaw's goal sort of gone under the radar. That was
I don't think it's gone under the radar. The way that people have spoken about that online has been great. It's going to be a contender of our goal of the season.
It was brilliant.
It reminded me similar of Berbatov against Blackburn. You know, he started right by that corner flag and then went forward. Yeah, maybe not quite as finesse, but you get my point.
Yeah.
But the whole point is that we're playing as a team. It's very selfless, and you're getting those players forward now. But that, I think it stems from Casemiro. I think it all stems from him, because people have got that much faith. I think Ten Hag's got that much faith, and he goes, "Are you two go up front? Yeah. Fuck off."
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if it allows
Bruno and the other midfielders to, you know, and obviously the other day it was Donny was on and he got injured, did he? But that's still. Casemiro just allows everyone else just to do what they want, and it's just glorious. It, like, I don't want to bring it back to the central defenders, but like if I can't wait for us to again just play our full proper first team again, and like, because obviously the next time that'll happen will be probably against City, won't it? We're going to make changes tonight. We'll make changes on Tuesday.
I don't know if we'll make that many tonight. I mean, we'll see, won't we, in an hour when the team comes out. But I don't think it'll be that many tonight, because I think if you're going to rotate, you do it against
Charlton. I mean, you've got 8 games. I suppose that is true.
So you would go all out tonight, and as I say, this is the team.
I hope so.
Let's be honest, they got a result at City a couple of weeks ago. They drew 1-1 there, didn't they? Was it a week or so ago?
So they're very much.
They're obviously.
Like, I will be interested to see what team Everton put out, because they are obviously struggling for league position. But like, I would have thought that we were sort of joking the other day that Lampard wouldn't be in charge by now, and that I'm surprised that he's still there. But maybe he sees the FA Cup or a cup run as being the thing that will save him, so he might go all out.
I genuinely thought he would have been sacked after conceding three goals in 5 or 6 minutes or whatever it was during the week.
What, he would have been sacked just there and then?
Just there and then on the spot. Which, to be fair, wouldn't have surprised me. I've seen more bizarre things happen in the room. But we'll see. And he's in charge tonight, and I'm kind of relieved that he is, because they're going to be despondent, aren't they, really, after that?
Yeah. But then they might still be... It depends if they're still playing for him. That's,
the FA Cup is not their priority.
No, it's not, but...
Not in any way. Not the way that they've gone. And I can't really envisage that if they go 1-0 down, they're suddenly going to be up for this game. Because the only way that you would think before it that Everton are going to win this game is by winning it by one, by a goal to nil. Yeah. That's it. They're not going to come here and beat us 3-0. You know, it's not like...
Like you said before, I feel that it's one of them. Like, you feel so confident. It's like, when was the last time you felt this? I know that we'll probably do another pod in 4 hours' time and we're like, how the fuck did we lose that? But right now, it feels positive. It really does. So,
well, let's leave it there for the time being. Go for a score prediction.
3-0.
Not seen the team yet, have we?
No.
Quite like the sound of 3-0. I think 2-0. I think it'll be a clean sheet. I don't think we'll get that giddy. I think we'll stay pretty compact and composed. We're a better opposition than you would expect than what maybe Bournemouth probably were. I'm going to go with 2-0. I'm going to go a bit more modest than that. But I do agree with you.
Just before we go, Barney asked to just put a message out, just saying to thank everyone who's like supported us on the mag, for particularly for this one, because obviously with the train strikes and just like the timings of the games, it's just been a bit of a pain for everyone. And he said that the prices of like making the mag have gone up again and stuff, so he's just like, just says really appreciates everyone for buying it, and thank you ahead for everyone who buys it tonight. So yeah, we'll speak to you later, and hopefully it'll be a happy pod afterwards. Okay, glory, glory, Man United. Goodbye.
Hi. So, Everton post match. Nathan's currently texting. Sorry, he's obviously preoccupied with something else.
No, mate.
Guys,
no, mate.
I'm not joking. Have you ever had fucking espresso fucking fly? So, have you been to the Carlton Club?
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yeah. That's where we went for the beer fest.
Yeah.
Carlton Club's fucking ace.
Right.
It depends what tunes you're into, whether it's, I don't know, techno, house, folk music, I don't know. Yeah. You're all saying yes.
All right. Yeah, sure.
You're all saying yes.
Well, I just thought you were going to continue to list.
You lucky bastard, you got hair. Yeah. Both got hair.
Just about.
So this is my thing about bars.
Give a bit of context.
This is my thing about bars. I will send that middle part that we attempted to do a part two for this to Barney. Hopefully admits it. Because Lord knows what just happened. But we came back to Chorlton for a couple of pints and we thought, we'll do the second part of it, you know, da da da. And it got hijacked a little bit and it went a little bit worse from a very odd man that we've met, you know. But anyway, it got a bit weird. And I was just making a conversation with Nathan. We've now moved bars, thankfully. He said...
He went to the top, he bought us a pint.
Which was fair. He did buy us a pint.
Yeah, but what was in that pint?
I don't know. I was very nervous about it. I waited for you to drink it before I had it. That's that thing for sure. But he was sat with another bloke on another table. And as he came up to talk to us, the other bloke on the other table said, "He's your problem now." Very slowly, made eye contact, and there was no... I thought he was joking. We thought they were together. And after about 5 minutes, he went outside for what I thought was going to be, as you know, like having a fag.
And I said to you about 10 minutes later, I was like, he is our problem.
He is our problem. I thought it was quite amusing. But anyway, he's gone for a wee. And I said to Nathan, he's now the toilet's problem.
And I said to Nick, I was like, is this the time we leave? And you said, yes, but be quick.
I've never seen you move like that out of the bar. I've known you for 15 years and I've never seen you move out of the bar. Anyway, beside the point, 2 minutes later, moving on.
So
that's what's happened.
Over an hour ago, we started talking about how about that football game, and then we got rudely interrupted. Whether Barney's going to include that, because I imagine...
Whether we wanted to be or not, we were interrupted. Anyway, moving on. We see United have another great result. I don't think a great performance.
No.
Subjective. I'm sure some people might think that was okay or whatever. Probably comes back to your comment you were alluding before when you was having that crying. And it's that kind of performance again. But it's just very, very lucky. But one thing that I want to make sure that I kick off with, and what one of the greatest moments that you could ever get out of VAR, and I hate it, and I know you don't mind it in parts, but I can't stand it, and it drives me insane. But the best thing that it could possibly give you is seeing Scousers go up, celebrating, gooning for a good 45 seconds, maybe a minute, to see the going doing aeroplane gestures, lighting flares, and seeing that blue mist descend over the south stand, for then to get cancelled out. There is not many better feelings in football that you can get from that, and that was great. And the game was crap, but the atmosphere was decent, and that was a particular highlight.
Yeah, I think I saw Barney put in one of the groups at half time that it was a good game, and I don't think it wasn't a good game. Like, I think. We
entertaining, I think, was more than.
I don't think it was entertaining.
There was some drama in there, but it wasn't.
But amazing. I think we did.
Two sides that won it is what his point.
Yeah, I think I was not surprised. Not like I think it was good of Everton. They obviously gave a shit, and that as a game that was good, because you don't want to turn, you don't want to have to play a game against someone who don't care, so that was good. But I don't know, like, we did well,
which it could have been, though. I mean, yeah, we went 1-0 down in a game that,
well, exactly, yeah,
the FA Cup means nothing to them, like, this season. I'm in a relegation fight.
Like, I make notes if you didn't know,
but you do know.
One of the first things I put was literally one of the first things that happened was we scored. And I was like, that's... I put at the time,
you,
I was like...
You needed your notepad to write that down. We have scored in this game.
Yeah. We scored early.
Okay.
But I was like, that... Because otherwise, they were just going to sit back. They'd set themselves down, like, five at the back. And it's like, we scored early. And it's like, okay. I was thinking, this will be all right.
Which is
but they actually came do. Out. They came out and did it. And obviously it was a bad mistake from De Gea for it. I'm at that end and I still don't really understand that. I think his feet just, he couldn't, it was odd. But then we came out the second half and then we scored straight away again, and I was obviously there was that little break where there was the injury, but in terms of playing minutes we scored pretty early on again, and it's like I enjoyed that in terms of the.
You think you're going to kick on, don't you?
That's what we did. We kicked on straight away. Like, there was that break, but in terms of playing time, we kicked on again and did it again. I'm going to refer to my notes, so you can
ad lib.
I think my Barney's point most though in the group was it was two sides that we went to go for. And as I say, that game meant nothing to Everton, and they could have folded at 1-0 down, and they didn't. Not that this is some sort of like Scouse, you know, pro podcast or anything like that, far from it. But then when they came out the second half and then to go 2-1 down very, very quickly, and again they didn't, that's the team that was then fighting for his job, which I don't think any of us were really expecting tonight. And they give us a game, and every time Martial, who, Jesus Christ, the less said about him the better, and I'm almost,
you think?
I thought he was
what,
poor
tonight? Tonight.
Yeah, I thought he was poor. I think he's been poor again and again. That's fine. But he's poor and he's non-existent. There's a few other breads were mentioned around me. And you know, the less said about him, the better at the moment, because he just looks lost on the pitch. He's not even having a chance. He's not having a shot. He needs to. Anyway, moving on from that. Every time him and Rashford and Anthony got the ball, there was three or four players that were around him trying to swallow them up, and they did a good job of trying to nullify them. I appreciate we scored three goals, and you know, that looks very, very daft in that sense. But they were, and they did a very good job to try and swallow them all up. And I just thought there was a very good job by Everton tonight, and they didn't look like they were a team that were in the relegation zone. and we looked like we struggled with it at times. And my reservation was going from full giddy from what we were pre-match when we were talking was, can we try and get 4 points against City and Arsenal, is what my mindset is, to now thinking, I don't know if we're that capable, because if we're that leaky and that costly that we are in midfield, and Casemiro gave the ball away a few times, he made some good tackles, he did some good stuff, he gave the ball away 3 or 4 times in really key moments in the counter-attack. I'm thinking if we play like that against big teams, we will get punished. And I said the same against Bournemouth. Did I think there's still cracks that are in this team? And I'm panicking that they're going to get found out over those next two games. And I think that if you're getting this team to do it, then I think I don't know if we're going to get those 4 or 6 points that some people are talking about online.
The first thing I'll say is watching it today, I was impressed with Martial today, generally, because I think, not in terms of as a striker, but it felt like he was dropping deep and he was laying the balls off in a way that I don't think I've seen him do before. Like, the first goal, after 2 minutes or whatever, it was him that started that off. And he was strong, and he laid it off to Rashford. And it's like that, the way he's played in the last cup, like particularly today, was in a way that I don't think I've seen him play before. Like, normally, like you say, he's just hovering about and he's just waiting to tap it in. But today, I genuinely did think that
the impression that that's fair enough and it's subjective. But after that, what else did he do?
No, but
when he got subbed off, I genuinely didn't realise he was on the pitch. And then after that, I actually was in the middle of a conversation, and currently was in the middle of a fucking double decker coming at me from the Everton fans above the K stand, which got swatted down by a teenager next to me who said, "You're welcome," just so nonchalantly. But I'll be honest, when he got subbed off at that point, I didn't even realise he'd gone off, because that's how ineffectual I thought he was in the game.
I think he did shit. I did. There was times where I did think, I was like, he's showing a different sort of...
Sorry, I thought there was a guy from the last bar that came in there, moving on, sorry.
Having flashbacks.
I was
generally impressed by it. I just thought there was things that he was doing that wasn't what I've seen him do before. I'm not saying that we don't need to get an hour and a half striker, but I just think tonight, there was moments where I was like, I don't think I've seen him do that before. But
subjective. Yeah. I'm intrigued about the rest of your notes now. After that one's coming there.
So I just put great from Martial, the start of the move, blah blah blah. What else have we got?
He needs to score more. I mean,
you were
looking, and we've gone back through the archives of the last few games, and we've seen Rashford scored in the last 7 home games in all competitions. What a record. I think it said that Dennis Violet's got 9 or 10 consecutive home games, so what can he equal it with Charlton and City over the next 2? Martial's is supposedly number 9. I'm not expecting the world of him.
No.
Canelo knows my opinion of Martial and him. But they're still expecting something from him, because he's fit and he's playing every single game. And he's starting every single game. Like, he's coming off the bench. He has to do something. He's got to show up on the stat sheet. I said this about Eriksen weeks and weeks and weeks ago. He's now showing up on the stat sheet in terms of getting goals and assists. It took a while.
Showing up on the stat sheet sounds so NFL.
It does. It sounds so American, and it doesn't. I don't care. But you need to, though. If you're in that position and you're getting paid that kind of money, you have to show up on it. You have to deliver. It's like, whatever you criticise of Haaland and Ronaldo and what their flailings are, Haaland's going to score most games for them. He might not have scored last night. But more often than not, he's going to put the ball in the back of the net. Ruud van Nistelrooy would put the ball in the back of the net. You don't need him to do that.
But the point is, no one's arguing that we need. That's what we need to sign.
And the point is, when's he really been doing it? And since we've come back from the World Cup, there's been nothing.
No, I don't think anyone's saying that he is. But I was just saying tonight, I appreciated that. Not that it means that we don't need to sign anyone, but I did appreciate the little things he was doing that I didn't see that he's
been asked to do a different role.
Yeah.
Every single player in that pitch has been asked to do a different role.
It's almost like it tonight was like, I don't like using the modern terminology, but it was almost like he was more like a false nine than actually out striker.
That's what he is in that team.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he is.
Because he's not.
But the problem is, though, is that if you're going to play that role, you have to be clinical in front of goal. I just had a vision from the end of this conversation of Barney going, you two idiots talk about football far too much. Like, why have you not talked about pigeon chasing or something like that that's not there? Do you hate of the week? I want your hate of the week, because I thought it was quite a good one, because we walked into Charlton, which is, you know, 10,
well,
15 minutes from
I've
the
got
ground.
Two. Well, the first one you know about.
Well, the first one. I thought the first one was quite a good hate of the week.
Well,
petty hate of the week. I enjoyed it.
The reason why I almost didn't get to the game the other night. Like, I know that Barney always complains about public transport and stuff, but National Express are a pile of shit. Because I flew back from Vienna on the week. No, it's not public transit. It's private transit.
No. That's not what I was going to say. That's not what I was going to say.
I flew back.
Said you got the date wrong. You got the wrong date.
No, I didn't book the wrong date. The system said I booked the wrong date. I know that I booked
the wrong date. And what did your email say?
It said the right date.
Oh, did it?
Yes.
So basically,
I wasn't allowed on because it was full booked. Basically, sorry. We're having a discussion. If you're listening still. So, I flew back from Vienna on what day?
You're not
sure
enough after Martial's rant right now. He's great, best player that's ever played.
I flew back from Austria on Tuesday to Liverpool, scumbags. I was meant to get a bus back from Liverpool because all the trains were off. Almost got to get a National Express. Turned up. I was the first one in the queue, and they were like, scan the ticket, and he was like, no, that's for tomorrow. We're sold out. You can't get on. So basically, National Express, fuck them. The bus driver tried his best to let me get on, but it was sold out. And then I just happened to look, and there was one train from Liverpool Lime Street 10 minutes later, so I legged it and got it. And then, next thing I know, I'm stood selling Red News before the Bournemouth game. Because, you know, that's what I do.
Which, as a note, I mean, to be fair, we didn't bring a great deal of mags with us tonight, did we? But we sold out pretty swiftly, so thank you again for everyone who bought one.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, it was a stressful... Yeah, It sounded like it was more of a hate than it actually was. But at the time, it was quite a hate.
Yeah, but you got there.
I did.
So it's all right.
It was a bit of a pain at the time.
But what about your real hate of the week? What the crowd want to know is, what's your real hate of the week?
As in tonight?
Call him out.
I'm not going to say any names. Apparently, this person is known. But... where I'm sat today, I'm watching the game.
He's actually been pretty big on Twitter this point. In the last few
I didn't
weeks.
Know this at the
and
time.
And to be fair, yeah, Nathan's not really on Twitter. But he started... if we said his name, I reckon most of you would probably know this individual.
So I'm sat there watching the game in my normal seat. And there's a younger person. He's younger than me. I thought he was with his dad or something. He's that young. And all the game, he just sat on his phone. He's not watching the game. He just sat there looking at his phone. And every so often, he's tweeting something. And then he's just repeating, he's just refreshing the tweets, watching it go up. He's got a blue tick. Like, in my notes, I've just saved it as blue tick wanker.
Yeah, which is fair.
He's paid for that tick. he's not got
$8.99 a month or whatever it is.
And I was like, I'm sat there watching the game, and all I can see in the corner of my eye is this guy. Like, I'm on the front row of the first tier, and he's like leant on the barrier, just looking at his phone. And I'm like, mate, watched the game. Like, I was like, is his dad here and he's just paid and he doesn't want to be here? But no, like, I was getting pissed off and I didn't say anything. But and then I speak to Nick about it after and I mention who this person is, because I looked on his phone and he was getting big likes and stuff on Instagram. He's got like 12,000-15,000 followers. He's not even watching the game, but he's tweeting about United and getting
which is just,
and it's like he's just tweeting stuff.
But it's indicative of where we're at now at Old Trafford with a lot of the fan base that are there. Yeah. And tonight was particularly bad.
Yeah.
I've got to admit, the fan base there tonight was incredible. But I'm talking the record, probably the most amount of half and half scarves I've ever seen a game this season. This season, without a doubt.
Well, I think it's one of them, is that you always get that more in cup games, don't you?
Ticks. So what is it with Twitter? You pay for, like, you know, you pay for it and you get the blue tick.
Yeah.
That's making it think like, oh, I'm getting a blue tick. But all these official accounts have what, moved on to yellow ticks now? Is it all work? It's fucking, anyway.
I don't know. Mind, but it pissed me off. It pissed me off because he wasn't watching the football.
You see people commenting, you think, oh, and naturally, because of years, of 10 years of being on Twitter, and I like Twitter. I've had a bit of a break and I've been on and off with it, I've flirted with it for a while. But I'm back on again it now. I don't use it, I don't post anything, but I like seeing what the people are doing. And to see that someone else got blue tick, you think, oh, maybe there's someone reputable. You could kind of be like, no, this guy's called Dave and he's from fucking, you know, oh, he's got 39 followers. And like,
this guy's called Alistair and he's headhunting.
He's called Alistair and he likes espresso martinis and lingering around in bars in Shortland. And it's like, no.
Sorry, we've ventured away from what we were talking about. But have you got any other points to talk about?
I've hated the week, you know, this week. I feel pretty zen about United, and ordinarily I'm first to jump on the bandwagon about hate of the week. I will mention a small trivial hate of the week that I did actually have to walk slightly further for my Pret subscription this week. I do have a Pret subscription in case anyone's wondering.
I've got a third hate of the week.
But it's after Christmas and my regular Pret that I typically go to is shut. I had to walk over to Cross Street in town instead of my regular Pret. That was an insignificant.
Unbelievable.
They didn't notify us that it was shut. That's £25 a month. If Netflix was down, they would tell you it was going to be down for a while. Yeah. They'd maybe write reimbursed. That's a fair walk. That was good. That is nearly 15 minutes of my lunch break, Carlos. Forecast for Charlton quickly before we go, because no one's going to do one after Charlton.
Yeah, just I think it's going to be wholesale changes. I think I back us to win again, obviously. I think I was speaking to Ben. Ben came and picked up a mag before the game, and he said it's one of them where, like, we're in a situation now where, like, we thought we were going to win tonight. We think we're going to win on Tuesday. He's already getting nervous about the City game, and that's like three games ahead.
When we last felt like that, been a while. Which is good.
It's good.
I'm intrigued because I think everyone would probably agree that our best back foot at the moment is probably Shaw, Martinez, Varane, and maybe Dallo on the right.
Yeah.
You know, at the moment, I think most people would probably agree with that. And to see Martinez come on tonight was great. Nice welcome. But I don't think he's got enough minutes under his belt to suddenly be thrust into the deep end for City next week.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if he plays.
Are we going to lose Shaw again?
No, but he might. He'll probably. I've not thought of it, but he might get some minutes on Tuesday.
I'm sure he will. He'll need to play the minutes on Tuesday. Just getting back to. I mean, the guys probably knee deep in Via
Clique. That's one of the things I was going to say before, though. At half time, I was thinking, like, Shaw in centre back and then Malacia. I thought that they might have brought Martinez on at half time and just put Shaw on the wing, because
that's what I thought they were going to do.
I thought they'd have done that at half time.
I thought they'd do it a lot.
So I don't know. Maybe, you know, I imagine Martinez will get some minutes on Tuesday.
I think he's going to get 90. He needs it under his belt. Yeah. And even so, does he play on? anyway, we'll find out when we go. I'm intrigued about that Charlton game. It's a great opportunity to get into a semi-final. And if we can avoid City and Newcastle and they can play each other, I don't know what the other quarter-final is.
I'm not sure. Is it...
But, fuck it, that bit.
Spurs-Leicester, maybe? I'm gonna Google it.
But that's
you enough. Talk now,
but that's a great opportunity, though, isn't it? And also, that's a great opportunity. If you can get lucky with a draw, which is probably what we need, over two legs, would we beat City?
No.
I don't know, maybe not, we'll see.
So
would
it's,
we beat Newcastle over two legs?
So it's Newcastle, Leicester, and then Nottingham Forest, Wolves. So you want to get that, don't you?
I mean, we've beaten both of them over the Christmas period already in the last, what, week? So can you get lucky and get that draw? And I tell you what, for the fans, can you get Forest away? Because I tell you what, getting a ticket for Forest in the league this year is going to be absolute nightmare. Yeah. Having the cup allocation would be quite handy as well, wouldn't it, really, for the midweek, even if it's Tuesday or Wednesday night. People have got great trips. So, sign off on that. Last thought, positivity. Just anything profound or positive before we leave quickly.
Erik ten Hag has got glorious turtleneck jumpers.
They are glorious. They are glorious. And it's nice to see him on behind him. I've not come across a United fan anyway that he's not fully behind Ten Hag. That's the guy's positive. And I think when you see the results that we've had since we've come back,
I mean,
it'd just been nice if we just conceded no more than one tonight. It's the only...
I think I've said it before, I generally think that we're in a better position now with him than we've been in a long time. And I know that, sorry mate, I just got told to move my head from the bar because we're sat next to the bar and the guy just put down two espresso martinis glasses. And
I thought it was the guy from the last bar.
The look of fear on Nick's face. The funny thing is, the last thing that Nick said to this guy before he went for a wee was, because he was asking him his name, and Nick said, "My name's Nick Barlow. I'm related to Gary. And there's one thing you won't remember. My name."
That's not what I said.
No, it's something
that
like that.
Terrible.
It was something like that.
I made a good take that point. I said, "I'm actually Gary Barlow's son."
Oh, that was it.
Or, and know, that's sorry, what Gary Barlow's nephew.
You'll never forget.
I said, "You'll never forget my name." And I thought it was quite amusing. He didn't bat an eyelid. You didn't bat an eyelid. And probably quite possibly 99% of this bugger's probably won't bat an eyelid either. But I thought it was quite funny.
Well, you're going to pray that he didn't turn up again.
Oh, dear me. I should be so sure that we're not going to see him again for the rest of the night. Anyway, before this gets any worse, we'll leave it there. Glory, glory, Man United.